Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello, 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 and a very warm welcome into Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio. Don't forget, of course, you can catch us our first airing each Tuesday lunchtime at 1 p.m. right here on RNIB Connect Radio. I'm your host, Dave Williams. It's fantastic to be with you once again. If you have something that you would like to hear on Tech Talk, maybe an observation about a piece of technology that you've been using, then why not drop us a line? It's the usual email address, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. That's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Coming up this time, we'll be hearing about the Site Village Wales exhibition, which will be taking place in Cardiff this spring. We'll hear how the app Project Tapestry is aiming to weave your favourite blogs, social media and more into a unified chronological timeline. Plus, Hubert Pavalkovich tries out the idle RPG mobile game War Shovel. Joining us are co-hosts Jackie Brown, Hubert Pavalkovich, Callum Stoneman and Natalie Curran. Welcome into you all. We've got a full house this week. Let's quickly nip round the room and find out what's grabbing your attention in the world of technology. Jackie, let's come to you first.
Yeah, well, just before I went away, you probably noticed I wasn't here last time. I had a birthday, and for my birthday, I was given a Mac Mini, the entry-level model. So I am trying to work my way through some bits and bobs with VoiceOver and all these fingers that you need for these gestures and commands. I wanted to be able to try and learn Mac OS a little bit. And that's what I got for my birthday present, which is very lovely.
Congratulations on your birthday, Jackie. Hope you had a good one. Is this your first experience with the Mac? You're a Windows girl at heart. Is that the case?
I am a Windows girl at heart, but no, it's not my first experience. Martin and I tried it about 12 years ago when it was in the days of Snow Leopard and then Lion and Mountain Lion. We just couldn't get round it. We tried. But I mean, there is so much more stuff out there now, you know, to do with the Mac. You know, there's a lot more people using it. There are a lot more tutorials, commands, and there are so many other people that I've sort of spoken to who have one or know their way around it pretty well. So I think I'm pretty well covered for, you know, advice and tips and help and all that. So I'm just going to really try hard to learn it, because at the end of the day, it means I can support people if I know enough about it, even at a basic level. So it's a challenge.
I know a few versions back, they allowed you to assign the caps lock key as your VoiceOver modifier, which hopefully helps with some of that, you know, left elbow, right thumb. But, you know, it's like, it feels like there is a lot of keys to press when you're driving the Mac. And so far, Jackie, how are you finding it? How does it compare with your Windows experience?
Oh, well, I mean, I am a Windows person through and through. I've used Windows now since it came out in one version or another. So I feel very comfortable with Windows. But I do feel that there is a space in the tech arena for Mac. And I just want to really try to learn it, at least to some basic level. I've managed to set it up myself. My husband had the good sense when he parted company with his original Mac Mini, he kept his lovely aluminium keyboard with the numpad on it, which is wired. And he gave me that as well and said, this might help. And it's a really nice keyboard, very little used. And so I've got that on and I've set it up myself. I've changed the VoiceOver voice to the one that I like, which is Siri Voice 2. And yeah, I'm tiptoeing, if you like, Dave, tiptoeing.
All right. Well, we'll let you get back to it. Hubert Pavalkovich, how are you, sir? What's on your tech radar this week?
Well, I'm staying on the Apple train. A brand new iPhone, anybody? The iPhone 16e.
Very nice.
No, not the SE4. 16e is out. Well, as we speak, it's been announced. It's been announced, and I'll take you through some of the key points, which I think, from the accessibility point, are quite crucial. One of them being no more home button completely. Home button officially gone.
It's gone. That's it.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
See you later.
Bye-bye. Don't miss you.
Some people will, though.
I know they will. Yeah. I know.
Yeah, so
I know
I'm sure there'll be email about that. So the home button now officially is a gone on the new. Anything else to note, Hubert, about the 16e?
There is the action button, which you can, of course, assign to some accessibility features, which is quite interesting. I still have it as the default function because I simply can't decide what to use the action button for at the moment, but that's just me. And the quite big change, the entry level price tag is a big change. It's gone up by £150 because it's £599 for the new iPhone 16e.
Right, so it is a new phone with new technology. It's based on the same architecture, by the sounds of it, as some of the
Yeah, it
newer
has the
phones.
same chip.
Yeah, and same chip.
Yeah,
So
as
it's
the
got.
16. So the chip is the same. There are three storage options. It starts at, as you say, at 599 for the 128 GB model. Then it goes to 256 for 699, which is, that's not, well, it's not the worst I've heard. And then you have 512 as well. So if I needed a phone, I'd buy one. But if, I'm happy with my 15 Pro yet.
So if you are wanting an iPhone experience and you want a new phone now, you're looking at 600 quid really to get on that particular bandwagon. Anything else, Hubert, on the 16e?
It also replaces the iPhone 14 officially in the lineup as well. So iPhone 14 will be in the lineup no more, but they are keeping the iPhone 15 and 15 Plus as well, if you're
Yeah,
interested.
which is weird.
Yeah, it is.
And Apple touting improved battery life on this phone as well.
Apparently, it's the best battery life that the iPhone SE slash 16e range has ever seen.
Oh, well, there we are. Be interesting to hear more about that.
Colors are a bit naff, though, some people might say. It's just, I mean, if it was me buying one, I'd just buy the black one. I do anyway. I tend to go for that color, but it's either black or white, so that's.
I don't really get the hype on colours, though. I mean, surely you just put in a case over it anyway.
Yeah,
First thing you do, isn't it?
I know.
Well, this is exactly it. My phone's in a case. What does the colour matter? I care about the colour and the feel of the case. I love a feel of a case. It's always quite nice. Kind of go, I want a case that feels nice. That's my kind of approach.
You see, my wife, who is also blind, likes to make a statement with a phone. You know, she does like a red or a pink or a yellow or a colourful phone, and quite often she'll get like a clear case to show that. But my understanding is that the screen itself, when it's off, is always black, regardless of what colour phone you get. So if your phone is in a coloured case, then really the only bit that's going to be visible is that, round the edge of the screen. Natalie, let's come to you. Anything grabbing your attention from the world of technology this time?
Inadvertently sticking with the Apple theme, I had a go at Maps. Introduced a new feature recently, which I noticed. So if you're using directions for a walking route, I noticed a little button beside it said build your own walking route. And I decided to give that a go this week. Unfortunately, I didn't know what to expect, but unfortunately, it didn't really work for me because it presented a visual map. And I think the idea was to sort of drop pins or trace a route that you then wanted to save and presumably put your phone in your pocket and have it guide you through. But it does mean that maybe potentially in the future there might be an option to adapt or alter the written instructions. But in the same time, I wasn't able to use that, but I was able to just use the normal directions function. And I got a bit stuck. That way where it says turn right, and you're kind of like, did you mean turn right, or did you just mean follow the road as it curves around to the right? wasn't totally clear. So I kind of paused and trying to figure out, thinking, this doesn't feel right. Where am I? Where am I supposed to be going? And I don't know what triggered it. I don't know if it was because I was confused or my phone was confused. But I got an instruction saying, lift your phone up to scan the buildings. So I lifted my phone up and it said, yep, we're right. You are outside building X. So I
Oh.
thought that was really cool. That it's obviously using the camera and I mean, it won't be Google Street View, but something like that to help identify where you are if it's not completely clear on the GPS. So I thought that was a really useful feature. And Hubert was talking about the 16E. I watched the video on the, yeah, it was a 16E, the Apple Dano video of its new features. And it sounded great, but I do think some of those features are possibly available in older models. I think they related more to the iOS 18, which I think a lot of newer iPhone models, not necessarily 16, will be able to download and have, because I think that's what I'm running. And that's what gave me those features that I've just talked about there. So maybe check that out first before you run out and spend 600 or 700 quid on a new phone.
Which phone is that that you've got?
I have the iPhone 13 mini,
Oh, okay, yeah.
and I absolutely love it because I did a bit of research last night. I spent quite a while on it, and it looks like they're done with the minis. They did a 12 mini and a 13 mini, but there obviously just isn't the demand for it because I can't see the screen. I don't care how big it is, but I do have relatively small hands, and I found some of the models, the standard models, just getting a bit ridiculously big, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So I love my mini, so I'm going to keep hold of it as long as I can.
My wife has a Pro Max, and I mean, every time I use her phone, I just think this you may as well have an iPad. Like,
Yeah.
what's the size of this?
Yes.
Yeah, it's really big, isn't
Yeah,
it?
that's how
Yeah.
I feel.
Natalie, can I ask you about the mapping thing? Do you think there are any unique benefits to using Apple Maps versus Google Maps? I'm a Google Maps person, and I've just done that for a long time, and every once in a while I kind of dip into Apple Maps, but then I end up going back to Google Maps. I guess it's just familiarity more than anything else. Do you think there are any unique benefits to using Apple Maps?
It probably does just boil down to what you're used to. I think I started with Maps because, or Apple Maps rather, because that was there when I got my very first iPhone. It was sitting there on the home screen, so that was the icon I went to rather than downloading a whole new app. And I do have Google Maps every now and again, kind of like you say, I'll sort of dip in and out of it, but I just don't find it as intuitive. I don't find it as easy to use. Now, don't get me wrong, Apple Maps sometimes drives me mad as well, but it probably is just down to familiarity. And yeah, it's just what I'm comfortable with. So I can't really compare them because I think I might be being unfair to Google Maps because I don't know it well enough to be able to say Apple Maps has this feature, Google doesn't, or vice versa.
All right. Callum Stoneman, please tell me you've got something that isn't necessarily Apple related.
I'll go the complete other way. I'll go with something Windows related. Freedom Scientific have recently done a webinar on using this new Outlook with JAWS. So this has been the new kind of web-based Outlook. We've covered it a few times before, where the accessibility is a little bit hit and miss. Now, this was on at the time that we're recording. This webinar was yesterday, and it was on at a bit of a bad time for me, so I haven't been able to catch it, and I don't think it's on their on-demand site just yet. But I just wanted to mention it because I think it's well worth checking out. If I mean, Freedom Scientific's training material is always really good. They are, of course, the developers of JAWS, so they've done this, you know, obviously JAWS specific, screen reader specific, and it's worth checking out, particularly if you're in the workplace, because if you've got your personal computer, then that's fine. You could stick with the classic Outlook for now, or you could move to something like Thunderbird. But if you're in an organization, the new Outlook really, it could just be kind of forced upon you at any time, and you might not have much control over it. Like, you know, for example, with our work, even on your mobile devices, you can't choose your own mail client, you know, so if I was to put my work stuff on my iPhone, for example, I wouldn't be able to use the official mail client. It would have to be Outlook. So it's worth just being involved. Obviously, it's also worth campaigning for the accessibility to be improved, which I think it is being. But it's worth just getting familiar with it as well and, you know, checking it out if you can. And just being, it's worth being prepared, let's just say. So freedomscientific.com/webinars is where you can go to find that. That should take you to their on-demand page. And, well, depending on when you're hearing this, it should be the first one or pretty near the top.
Thank you very much, Jackie Brown, Hubert Pavalkovich, Natalie Curran and Callum Stoneman. Stick around, it's another Tech Talk.
The popular accessible technology fair Site Village is making its way back to Wales this spring. Here to tell us more about it from organisers Queen Alexandra College is Rose Woodall. Rose, thanks for speaking to us today.
Hello, thank you.
And what can we expect from Site Village Wales this year? Who will be there?
Yeah, so we've got a lot of people there already, to name a few. We've got the Macular Society, Vision Aid Technology, Sightlight Wales, Wales Council for the Blind, Human Wear Europe, and Retina, just to name a few, but a lot more than that.
And for people who may have heard about Site Village exhibitions but not been to one before, what are they like? Give us an idea of what goes on.
Yeah, so it's a real community feeling at Site Village. And it's a day out, so not only can you talk to the exhibitors, have a hands-on experience, try products, there's refreshments. And what we'll introduce in this year at Wales is a seminar room. So be able to sit and relax and listen to some of the talks and the workshops that are taking place. So it's a really nice atmosphere.
And are there any products or services being displayed that you're really interested in learning more about yourself, or any of those seminars that you mentioned that you think will be especially interesting?
The seminars are always really interesting for the visitors. And the products, I'm surprised each time they come at the different products that they have on offer, actually. So I'm looking forward to see, you know, myself, what's new. Every event, there's always something new, so which is, you know, is great.
And what do visitors tell you that they enjoy most when they visit Site Village exhibitions?
They really like the one-to-one, hands-on experience. They like that they can try the product, that they get that one-to-one, they can ask questions. They like the atmosphere. They like that they can have refreshments and they can stay for the day. And especially like now, with all events now, there'll be seminars. I think that's just that added, they can sit and relax and, you know, they're informative talks and workshops. So they really enjoy the whole experience, to be fair.
What kind of support will be available on the day for visitors in Cardiff?
Yeah, so there'll be the Site Village team. They'll be there at reception. Should you have any questions, exhibitors are always more than happy to help. I have made contact about volunteers, so I will post more about that on the website. Anything that's to do with Wales or any of the events is always on updated on the website or on our social media on Facebook. So it's always good to keep checking there for updates.
Well, tickets are free to all Site Village events, of course, but you do recommend booking in advance. What's the best way to do that?
Yeah, so booking in advance just says you can come through the doors a lot quicker. But, you know, if you can't do that, then we're more than happy to register on the reception. So if people do want to book in advance, they can visit the Site Village website, which is, well, email myself at sv@qac.ac.uk. They can go onto our website, which is www.qacsitevillage.org.uk. On there, they can book tickets, they can find out more about the event itself. Or if they like to talk in person, they can give me a call on 0121 803 5313.
But this isn't the last Site Village exhibition of the year, is it? 2025 is shaping up to be a really busy year.
Yeah, so this is the first one of the year. So we're really excited, but we have got 5 events this year. We're taking Site Village to Scotland, so we're going up to Glasgow. We'll have our 2-day event in Central, which is in Birmingham. We're going back to Winter Gardens in Blackpool. And then we've got a new venue and a 2-day event in London in November. So Site Village is extremely busy this year.
And where's the best place to find out a bit more information about all the upcoming Site Village events?
Yeah, so everything is on the website. So what the event involves, As soon as I can update what exhibitors are going to be there, what seminars are taking place, again, just keep checking the website for updates. But that website is www.qacsitevillage.org.uk, and everything will be updated on there, or, as I say, on Site Village on Facebook.
Well, Site Village Wales will be at the All Nations Centre in Cardiff on Tuesday, April the 8th, between 9:30 a.m. and 3:30 p.m. Rose Woodall from QAC, thanks for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Okay, thank you very much, and we look forward to seeing everyone at the events in 2025.
Now, if you were tuned in last week, you might have heard our interview with the developers of the Super Brain headset. Well, our very own Hubert Pavalkovich now takes it for a bit of a spin.
Now, following our chat with Jana from Seventh Sense about Super Brain, we are back, and now we are going to take a look at the unit itself. Jana is here with me still. Thank you once again for joining us. Let's grab the unit first. So I've got the unit in my hand, and it is very much like a headband, quite a large headband, and it is fairly robust, I think. Inside the headband, you also have a little layer on top of the headband as well. There's a strap that goes over the top of your head too.
Yes, there is two straps to adjust the unit, so one on the back and one on the top. On the back one is similar like you would adjust a bicycle helmet with a rolling option. So you tighten up and loosen up with either rolling it to the left or right. The upper strap is adjustable, also easy, basically with one hand. You just pull this tightening part upwards and adjust it either tighter or, you know, loosen up so it better fits from the top of your head.
I think the very good way to describe this device is, I'd say, kind of like a bicycle helmet but with no top on it, so you don't kind of have the top covering of the bicycle helmet, but you do have the bit of the bicycle helmet that goes around your head. So what I'm going to do now is put this unit on my forehead, and the key for this one is to make sure that the panel with the pins touches your forehead more than anything.
Yes, because this is the important part. Place the unit so you would have all these rows of these physical pins connecting to your forehead, because that will provide you the most nuanced feedback about your surrounding.
So I take to adjust it to the back of my head. There's a dial on the back of the unit which you can turn, which I'm going to turn now to adjust it and tighten it to make sure that the pins are touching my forehead. So it doesn't have to be extremely tight, but tight enough so that the pins do touch the forehead. So the unit is fairly securely on my head. I'm going to give it one more tightness. And how do we power this unit on then? There's a power button on the right-hand side, and it's got a Braille letter P next to it also. So I'll just slide it to the right. And what you can now hear is a processing unit starting up on the device. How long does it take to set up, roughly?
Around 1 minute.
And what's the battery life on this device?
Around also 2 hours. It depends how you use. If you will use it with an AI mode, it can drain a little bit faster because it's more processing happening.
So the processing unit has stopped for now, but it's still starting up. And what I can only describe now, there I felt a kind of vibration, kind of like a little small ball going left and right on my forehead. What does that indicate?
It is just like the starting animation. So you could understand the device is on, and it kind of goes in the standby mode. So it is on and now it's standby mode. So to start operate, again, you have to move to this operational three buttons, as I mentioned before.
I tell you what, the sensation felt quite odd. It almost felt like something cold or cold metallic or something cold, metallic and wet going across my forehead, as if it was cleaning my forehead, which I found quite a fascinating sensation.
A lot of people compare it pencil ball when you write the feeling of the movement. So like a massaging rolling balls going over your forehead.
That's quite accurate. So which of the three operational buttons, and they are quite easy to reach on the left-hand side, a bit behind your ear. So which of the three buttons do we now need to press to be able to get the device to do its thing?
The first one.
first button.
Closer to the ear.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay.
And most far away from the charging port.
Okay, okay. I'll press it now. And you can feel the vibration patterns changing on your forehead. It's actually quite a strange sensation, but equally quite fascinating too. If you're not used to it, I'm kind of getting various pins on my forehead moving. So I take, you know, what will have to be kind of get, what you have to kind of get used to as a user is the different patterns that it will do. So for example, I'm going to move my hand in front of the cameras, and as I move my hand, the pins are moving from left to right, following what they consider as an object in front of the cameras, which is quite interesting. How do we know what distance range it's measuring in front?
So from the standby mode, the device is working in 2 meter range. With the last button, the most closest to the charging port, you can change it from 1, 2, and 3. And you will feel like indication of the pin. The 1 meter, it will be like a short pin movement from your right side. So the 2 meters will go these pins till the middle, mm-hmm. and the 3 meter will go over your forehead. So this is how you know actually which range you are using.
So which range would you say is recommended? Would it be the 2 meter default range?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so we're going to take this out for a little spin. Right. Okay, we're all out. So we are currently in a corridor outside our Connect radio studio. So at the moment, I'm not really feeling much vibrations, kind of a little vibration on my forehead, Jana, because I believe where we're standing at the moment, there's nothing in front of us.
Yes, but as you are holding microphone, so it already detects that there is something from your lower ground.
So if I move the microphone away, the pins have calmed down now.
Yes.
And don't move. But if I bring the microphone back up, it is already sensing something. And if I put it closer, the sensation is kind of on the higher level of my forehead because the microphone is literally facing my forehead. I'll move it back to my left. How best would you say, what shall we do now?
As we usually start to kind of do a little exercise and wave the hand in front of the person and ask him to indicate which hand we are waving. So we will do the same. Mm-hmm. Now I would raise my hand up and wave, and please point with your hand which direction I'm kind of, which hand I am waving, which side do you feel?
At the moment?
Yeah.
Nothing. Ah, there we go, something's more. I think it's left, that way?
Yeah, my right, exactly, oh. Your left. Mm-hmm. And now?
And now it's gone to the right?
Yes, exactly. And now?
Now it's more, still, it's a bit tricky because I'm getting sensations on two different sides.
It's in the middle.
Yeah.
That's why it may be like that. Mm-hmm. And the next step also what we do to describe the movement. So I will move from one side to another side and you just pin with your hand direction how I move.
So it's kind of going from left to right.
Yes.
Mm. And you can do it with your own hand too. I'm currently waving my hand and...
And if I would step further away, you will get the same feedback, but lighter. So with the time, you also learn this distance by yourself, like how far actually the object is from you.
What's kind of the next exercise you do?
Then we allow people to walk around and to start to understand their surrounding.
So let's walk straight ahead. Luckily, I know the layout of this corridor, so I can walk straight and not getting much sensation. That's because we've got a clear path through. But what I'm going to do soon is turn the corner, and I know in front of me there's a door. There is a door in front of me to one of the toilets. So how would Superbrain handle that?
So now you would have to switch to the AI mode. So this means short press of the middle button your left side.
I'm going to press that button middle.
That one.
I've pressed it now. There we go. AI mode has enabled.
And now you should pick up the pattern moving from your lower forehead upwards, indicating that there is a door around.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's kind of moving, currently mixture on my left and middle side.
On your left side, because AI mode is on, and it also picking up the human.
So the pattern is a little bit different. It moves from your lower forehead down. But as I am in the range of the device is working, so mm-hmm. you pick both of those patterns.
So if I walk straight ahead now, I'm picking a little raindrop sensation. And there's a door, so I'm going to push it open. And I'm face the doorway to see if I can walk through. There's no vibrations as such, so I'm going to walk through. And I've walked through safely, not walked into anything. I'm going to turn around, walk back out. It's a strange sensation, but it's actually quite nice. Well, let's find our way back to the Kinect Radio studio, shall we? I'm walking ahead, all fairly clear. There's no sensation because no one in front of me. I'm going to face the door now. And it's an interesting sensation because I'm not really feeling the sensation going up through my forehead. But I know there's a door in front of me, so I'm going to now scan the card, let myself in, and walk back in and see that the guide dog's here. Okay, well, that is quite an interesting sensation, certainly. It feels quite nice, and I think it will take time to get used to these sensations and get used to these patterns because it's very active. So there's constantly some sort of a pattern going on, and I think the key is to then remember what each of these patterns is and kind of get used to it. How long have you observed roughly for it to take for users to get used to it?
It starts from 5 minutes up to 20. But very depends on the person. Some catch up with a one-time use, but for some it might take, you know, a few days or maybe a week. So very depends on the person.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much. How do I then put the device into standby mode?
Again, just press the first button, which is closer to your ear.
I'm going to find that button now. That puts into standby mode and it stopped tapping. So then I can just slide the power button?
Yes. Exactly.
Slide it and it's off. I will now adjust the wheel to relax the hold and take it off. There we go, passing it back to you, Jana. So it's not the lightest unit, but I find it's not overly heavy. But obviously that can vary from person to person. And as you said, one, there's a lot of hardware that goes into it, so there's only so much that it can be made lighter. And you did say also there is a lighter version possibly being worked on, is that correct?
Yes. This is like a first limited version, and within like 2 years we plan to launch already like a lighter, smaller, more adjusted kind of version.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much again, Jana, for showing us Superbrain here on RNIB Tech Talk.
Now, I don't know about you, but since the controversy at a certain social media network in particular, I've found it very difficult to keep up with all my social media content. And not just social media, but, you know, content like blogs and news and just everything. There's so much out there nowadays coming at us from all angles, whether it be on social media, whether it be on proper news apps, whether it be on blogs, that you just want to keep track of. And you want to keep track of the things that are relevant to you. And especially since, as I said, the controversy at Twitter, social media in particular has become very difficult because people are a lot more spread out. We've spoke about this before. There's some people are on Mastodon, some people might be on Blue Sky, some people might be on other social networks that not as popular or not as well known. Other people have just gone off and set their own servers up or create their own blogs for people to follow their content, and it's just difficult to keep up. And that is what Tapestry aims to help with. So we have mentioned this on the show before, but Tapestry is basically an app that takes all of these social media feeds and these RSS feeds, and it can even do podcasts and YouTube channels, and just aims to combine them all into one place, one timeline, where There's no sponsored content. Well, there is actually sponsored content in the free version, but we'll get to that. There's no ads, there's no algorithms messing about with your content, deciding what you see and what you don't see, or if you like things or not. It brings everything into one place and it shows it in a nice, really easy to use chronological timeline. So that's the overall aim of Tapestry. I've been using it for a couple of weeks now since it launched, and I'm actually finding it really nice. So I thought I'd show you how it works. So let's go into the app.
Tapestry. Tapestry. Welcome to Tapestry.
So the first thing we get is a welcome screen. I've cleared out all my feeds from this so that you can just hear how it works from when you first install it. So the first page we've got is welcome.
Tapestry weaves your favourite blogs, social media, and more into a unified and chronological timeline.
That's basically a much nicer way of saying what I just said.
Skip button. Page 1 of 4. Next button.
So you've got a bit of an intro screen here. So it just explains a little bit more about how Tapestry works, what it is, and it can give you some recommended content as well. I don't really know how those recommendations are chosen, or if they're different based on kind of where you are in the world, but it gives you some recommendations on there as well. I'm just going to skip that for now because I feel like chances are the recommendations are okay, but chances are you'll want to manually add your own feeds, and I want to make sure I get a chance to show you that. So I'm just going to skip over this, but you can flick through it if you want. It's all very nice and accessible.
Page 1 of skip button. Skip alert. No recommendations selected. If you continue, your timeline will be empty and you will need to set up feeds manually in settings.
That's fine. We can continue with that.
Cancel but continue button. All feeds. Diamond button. Pop-up button.
So we've basically just got an empty timeline now. So because we've nothing on here, there's a nice little button where we can jump straight to the settings in order to add a feed.
All feeds, diamond, search, use settings to add feeds, button.
Okay, so we can double tap on that.
Your feeds, button, done, button.
Now, they've done a really good job with the accessibility throughout this app. So it's taken us into the main settings screen, and we can navigate by headings on this screen to find where we can add a feed.
Icon Factory Tapestry Feed Finder heading. Add feed button.
That's what we want. So I found the heading that says feed finder and then just flick to the right. So we can double tap on add feed.
Close. But text field is editing. Example.com. Character mode. Insertion point at start.
So what it's asking for now is the URL of a feed. So if you put in the URL of a website, see, you could put in the direct URL to an RSS feed if you wanted to, if you knew what that was. Or you can just put in the URL to a website and it will do its best to find the correct feed for you. And that seems to work really nicely. And there is a section in there called called connectors, which you could go to if you know exactly what type of feed it is that you're adding and what type of content it uses. Or if you specifically want to add, say, a Blue Sky profile or a Mastodon profile, you could go in and do it via the connectors option and kind of add it manually and do all the advanced configuration and stuff. But that's a little bit more technical, a little bit more long-winded. I found that just putting in a URL of what you're looking for works really, really well, and the app does a good job of going out for itself and finding what you're looking for and what it needs to use. So let's say at first we just want to follow the news, the general news from the BBC. So I know that the URL for that BBC News website is bbc.co.uk/news. So I'll just try putting that in and see if it finds it.
bbc.co.uk/news, character mode, insertion point at end.
So I've put that in there.
Forward button.
And then that button's labelled a little bit odd. It says forward, but it's basically the next button, the search button. So I've put in that URL, let's see if it finds it.
Forward, diamond, back button, configure feed. Connector, heading, image, and or blog feed, RSS/atom.
So it sees it as a blog feed, which is, well, an RSS blog feed, which is fine.
Info, button, XML feed, feed URL, https://feeds.bbc.co.uk/news/rss.xml, text field.
Now, obviously, that's a little bit different to what we put in, but that's fine. That's basically It's found the RSS feed for BBC News and put that in for us.
Enter the path to the website's XML file. Verify button.
So we just need to click verify.
Verify. Selected. Save button.
And that's that. So we can click save.
Save.
And there we go. So that feed, if we look at Feed Finder now.
Configuration. Heading. Feed Finder. Heading. Add feed. Your feeds. Button. Feeds provide the information that appears in.
There's a new button there that says your feeds. And if we have a look in here.
Feeds. 1. Selected. By name. Most recent. BBC News. Blog feed. RSS/Atom. Button.
And there we go. That's added the BBC News feed to our timeline. So if we go out of settings now.
Your feeds. Button. Button. All feeds. Button. Pop-up button.
We're now back on the timeline, and what we should see are the latest articles from BBC News. Now, this isn't following their social media feeds or anything. This is just going off the RSS feed. So this is going off the latest things that are posted to the BBC News website. So if we have a quick flick through, I'll show you how this works. It is just the general overall worldwide BBC News. It might be a little bit doom and gloom, but hopefully we can find something to give us an example of how this sounds when you scroll through it.
Sponsor. Tumblr. It's more than...
Now, there's a sponsor there. That's because I'm using the free version. But as I said, I'll come to pricing in a minute. But let's just ignore that for now. So the first thing on my timeline is an advert in this case.
Blog. 9 minutes ago. BBC News. Woman accused of stalking Madeleine McCann's family. Julia. Blog. 15 minutes ago. BBC News. Liverpool draw PSG. Arsenal face PSV. Villa meet Club Brugge in last 16. Liverpool will face Paris Saint-Germain in the Champions League last 16, while Arsenal take on PSV Eindhoven and Aston Villa will play Club Brugge. One attachment. Pop-up button.
So that's given us... It's told us that it's from the BBC, BBC News. It's given us the headline, and it's also given us a bit of a summary of the story. And we've got a few actions on here. This app makes really good use of the voiceover actions rotor. So if we flick down... well, you can flick up as well if you want. But if we swipe down, there's a few options that we can do here.
Image attachment.
So the article's got an image attached to it, so we could view that.
Menu. Open original. View details. Activate. Default. Image attach menu. Share button. Translate button. Mark button. View details button. Open original button. Open author. Diamond button. Dismiss context menu button.
So we've got a few options in there. So one of those options you heard was menu. And then when you double tap on that, that takes you into this menu where you can share it. So you can share a link to that particular article. You can open the original, which would bring it up on the BBC News website. And that would bring up the just the standard website and allow us to view the full article. And there was view details as well, so you could view what time that was posted to the site and any other details that were relevant in there. There was a view author button, which is dimmed. And the reason that that's dimmed is because that's more relevant to social media profiles. Whereas obviously this is just a website feed. So the author in this case isn't really relevant. So if we come out of this.
Dismiss context menu button. All feeds, but all feeds, button, pop-up button.
Now at the minute, all we've got on our feed list is BBC News. So this is basically just a long list of updates and posts from the BBC. So all the posts there on here will just sound similar to that. So let's add something else. I'm going to add the Apple Viz website. I find that a really useful site. So I like to know when new blogs and new forum posts and things are put in there. So we'll go back into settings.
Settings, button. Done, button. Configuration, heading. Help and about, heading. Feed finder, heading. Add feed, button.
And we'll add a feed.
Close, but text field is editing. Example.com, insertion point at start.
And again, it's looking for the URL, so we'll just do appleviz.com.
Aplevis.com. Forward, button.
And we'll click forward.
Forward, diamond, connector, heading, image, blog feed, RF info, button, XML feed, feed URL, https://aplevis.com/feed.xml, text field.
And there we go, it's found the feed. Now Apple Viz actually do have quite a few different feeds that you can choose from. So they've got, this is the generic one, which is just all posts. So all new content will go to, that's posted to the Apple Viz site will appear in this feed. And that is what it has picked up on, which is fine. If we wanted to find more specific ones, for example, if we just wanted to know when new blog posts went out, there is a URL for that, which you can find on the Apple Viz website, but we'll just go with this one for now. So it's found the URL for us, so we'll click verify.
Verify button. Verify. Selected. Save button.
So it's verified that, it's been able to connect to it, so we'll save it.
Save. Add feed button.
And now let's add one more thing on here. This can also do, as well as RSS feeds and social media, I'm not going to go through adding social media just now because I did add my Mastodon profile to this and it works really, really well. It's basically the same thing. You enter in, where it asks for the URL, you enter in the URL of your instance, so techhub.social in my case, and when you get to that page where it asks you to verify, instead of saying verify, it will say authorize. So then you will log in with your Mastodon credentials and save the details, and then it will let you connect the feed. So it works the same way, but it's just got the additional step of verifying, of getting you to log in so that it shows your specific profile content. But I personally ended up removing my Mastodon from it because what I found was that because this is just giving you a nice chronological timeline, it doesn't group social media posts into threads or anything like that. So that might not bother you. But for me, I found that if someone had posted something and then, say, 2 hours later, somebody replied to that post, what I would see in my timeline was just the person's reply to the post, and it wouldn't have any context because it wouldn't show. If I wanted to see the first post that they'd replied to, I'd have to scroll kind of 2 hours back in my timeline to see it. It wouldn't group them together. So I just found that using a dedicated client for Mastodon was a nicer experience. But if you did want to bring your social media content onto here, that's how you can do it. But personally, I'm just using this to follow news content and different blogs that I like. But it can also do podcasts as well. So there's a podcast that I quite like called R&IB Tech Talk that you might have heard of. It's been going a while. And I want to add that podcast to my list of items in Tapestry as well. So what I've done is I've gone into Apple Podcasts, found the R&IB Tech Talk podcast and copied the link to the show. So I've copied the Apple Podcast link. And in Tapestry, I'm now going to go to Add Feed.
Add feed button. Close. But text field is editing. Example.com. Character mode. Insertion point at start.
And now I'm just going to paste in that Apple Podcasts URL.
Misspell edit. Paste. https://podcasts.apple.com/.
Now let's see if it can find that. So we'll click on forward.
Forward button. Forward diamond. The web page you entered supports the connectors listed below. Heading. Select a connector. Heading.
Ah, so now it's asking what we actually want to do with this. So remember I mentioned connectors earlier, where you can do a bit of advanced configuration. So this is now asking us to choose a connector.
Blog feed, RSS, podcast feed, XML podcast button.
And there we go. That's the one we want because it's not a blog feed. It's a podcast feed.
XML podcast. Podcast URL. https://audioboom.com/channels/4813.
So what that's done, you know, might have noticed that it's changed from podcasts.apple.com to Audioboom. So that's because Audioboom is our main podcast host. Now, if you understand this sort of thing, you'll know what I'm talking about. If not, don't worry about it. It's getting a little bit techie, but basically Audioboom is where the podcast goes first before it then ends up on all the other places that you might get it. So Apple Podcasts or Overcast or your Victor Reader Stream or wherever you get it from, but Audioboom is the main host and it's picked up on that, so that's great.
Enter the path to the podcast's XML verify button.
So let's verify that.
Verify selected, save button.
And it's got that, it's been able to connect, so we'll save.
Save. Add feed button.
And now, if we go out and look at the timeline, it should look a little bit different. So BBC News, I'm guessing, would probably be the most busy out of these feeds. So we'll still see a lot of BBC News content, but we've got three different feeds in here now. So we should see a mixture from BBC, from AppleViz, and we should see the latest episode of the Tech Talk podcast as well. So let's have a scroll through and hear how it sounds now.
Blog, 20 minutes ago, BBC News. Woman accused of stalking Madeleine. Blog, 1 hour ago, BBC News. Sinn Féin to boycott White House saying. Blog, 12 hours ago, AppleViz. All recent posts. Adventure to Fate, Core Quest. By Blue. The follow-up to Touch Arcade's 2024 Game of the Year. Descend into the core of the dungeon, where the dark entity Thanatos awaits.
So we've got a post from AppleViz there. I think that's something new being added to the app directory.
Blog, 13 hours ago. AppleViz, all recent posts. iOS 18.4, where are you? By Levi Gobin. It's been several weeks since the release of the last public iOS.
So that's another forum post that's been added to AppleViz. And if we keep scrolling, I'm going to scroll quite far back, and we should eventually find, in with all of this, the latest episode of Tech Talk.
Podcast, 3 days ago, RNIB Tech Talk, Tech Talk 552, Super Brain Headset, Braille Emotion Demo, Accessible Gaming Roundup.
There we are. So now, what can we do with this? So we've got the podcast. It would have read out the description as well if I let it go. So let's flick down through the actions rotor and see what we've got.
RNIB Connect Radio RNIB. Audio attachment, duration, menu. Audio attachment, duration, 0 hours, 54 minutes, and 5 seconds.
So we've got an audio attachment. If we double tap on this.
Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
It's playing the podcast. So you can play the podcast directly in Tapestry as well. Not quite as nice as your traditional podcast client. I don't think it has like chapters or, you know, support for things like that. But it does bring up a little, towards the top of the screen, there's a little now playing section where you can pause and skip forward and skip back. So not only can you view all your news sources and see when podcasts have been updated on this, but you can also listen to the podcast right in Tapestry as well, which is really nice. Overall, this is a free app. You can download it for free and start using it. There is a subscription cost if you want to remove the ads. So what I've found is that every now and again, there will be an ad in the timeline on this free version. And it's not intrusive. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't get in the way. It doesn't block anything. It's just another thing to scroll past. And it's made very clear when it's an ad. So it will say ad or it will say sponsor or something. So you can use it with the ads, or you can pay the subscription cost, which is £1.99 a month. And that will allow you to get rid of the ads, and it will also allow you to build your own custom timelines as well. So if you wanted a timeline, say you had, say you had a good like 10 feeds on here, but you wanted to create a timeline just for technology feeds or just for podcast feeds, you've got a bit more flexibility in terms of the timelines you can create and how you can customize them. So I've quite enjoyed using this. I've got quite a few more feeds added than I showed you on there, but I just wanted to show you how you get started at least and how you add feeds to it. And you really can dig into this and do a lot more with it. So there's a section in the settings for muffles and mutes. So let's say, for example, although I've got the BBC News feed added on my timeline, let's say there was a certain topic that I really didn't want to hear about or read about. I could set a mute, which would filter out certain keywords related to that topic. And even though something from the BBC had been posted, one of those news articles had been posted, my mute would come into effect and it would filter out that bit of content. So it's not just a simple, the way I've demoed it makes it sound like a simple just list of content, and it can be if that's what you want. But if you want to get a bit more advanced and you want to filter some things out and have some control over what you see, you can go in and do that as well. So I think the difference between the two, I haven't played with it massively because I don't really tend to mute things on apps like this because I'm in full control of the content that I'm adding anyway. But I believe the difference between the two is that a mute will completely filter it out. You just won't see it. A muffle will almost give you a warning, so it will let you know that these keywords exist. And if you want to see the content, then you can do, but if you don't, then it will hide it behind that warning and you can just scroll past. So there is a lot to this. It's a nice, simple app. I mean, it's as simple or as complicated as you want it to be, really. So if you're struggling with keeping up with all your news sources and your content that you like to follow, then give Tapestry a go.
Time to do a bit of gaming on Tech Talk now, and I want to show you an online role-playing game called War Shovel today. So over a year ago, we have done a brief walkthrough of a game called Lost Vault, which involved exploring wastelands, battling players, exploring vaults, and various other elements, including upgrading buildings to help you in the game and resources. That was a great game, and it still is. I still play it. Today I want to show you a game from the same developers, and it's fairly similar, but has got a few more bells and whistles to it, which make it a little bit more interesting, a little bit different. So I will show you that now. It is very accessible with voiceover, and it has a few little elements which I particularly like, because it tends to support two types of gaming depending what you've got time for, which I will get into kind of more details of that in a moment.
War Shovel.
So there's War Shovel. Let me open it.
War Shovel. Gold 47.4k.
So I have opened the game. I have turned off the in-game music. I'm not going to give you an exact playthrough, but more of a walkthrough as to what each screen does. Partly, we will look at the tutorial too, because some screens are going to be explained. So the first screen is the player screen, and here is where you manage your character in various ways. So you've got your gold balance.
Crystal zero button.
Crystals, which is your premium game currency.
Chat button.
You can chat.
Caesar.
Caesar, the guide dog. That's my player name, Caesar, because, well, of course.
Level 24 progress, 89.77%.
Then it's your level screen.
Show menu button.
You can look at settings.
Selected. Attributes. Tab 1 of 3.
And then you've got various, you've got your attributes, so your various skills, and you can assign skill points to improve them.
Skills, tab 2 of 3.
Then various skills you can have.
Appearance, tab 3 of 3.
Then your character appearance.
Tasks, heading.
Then you've got various tasks that you can achieve and get rewards. And you can also, after that, increase your attributes as and when you wish. Which I'm not going to go through all of that, but they are kind of your usual attributes of strength, endurance, dexterity, that sort of thing. So that's what you do here.
Selected. Two items. Tab 2 of 6.
Let's show you the items tab.
Cooking, level 0. Alchemy, level 0. Chat button.
So here is where you can actually craft a lot of things. And this is what you didn't have in Lost Vault. You didn't have a crafting section here. You can actually craft different potions and different food items based on resources you produce or you find, which I really like. That's a bit of a difference from Lost Vault. It's a lot of creativity here, which is quite good.
Alchemy, level 0.
So you got alchemy.
Cooking, level 0.
And cooking.
Jewelry, level 0.
And jewelry.
Smithing, level 0. Woodworking, level 0. Tailoring, level 0. Crafting configuration button.
Then crafting configurations, so you can actually do various configurations here. And also, a lot of it involves a mixture of idle gaming and kind of active gaming, as I like to call it. So the difference between both is, idle gaming is you can set processes to take place while you're away from the game. So for someone like me who, during my working day, I don't really have time to play games, but I'd still like certain things to be produced so that when I come back to playing the game, I've got a lot of things to work with. So what I like about this game is it involves a mixture of both active gaming, but you can choose to do a bit of idle gaming as well, which is quite nice. Because even if you do idle gaming, you still have to open the game every few hours in order to get the rewards of whatever idle work your game does.
Materials, heading.
So you can look at your list of materials and craft things based on them. I'm not going to go through all of that, but it's actually quite interesting.
Common material, wheat, 606.
So I've got wheat.
Common material, oak leaf, 2.
Got some oak leaf.
Common material, coal, 1.24k.
I've got a lot of coal.
Common material, red thread, 618.
Plenty of red thread, my favourite colour.
common material branch, 1.29k.
And various things like that. So that's the item section, which is quite useful.
World, tab 3 of 6.
Let's take a look at World.
Verdant Glade button.
So in World is where you explore different locations, and the more you explore, the better locations you unlock.
Explore, tab 1 of 3.
And then you can explore. Exploring lands is one of the main parts of the game. That's where you get experience, you get gold, you get resources.
Maze, tab 2 of 3.
Then you've got the maze.
Level up and come back stronger. Chat, but crystal chat. Level up and come back stronger. Required 65 level.
So I can't actually do the maze because that requires level 65.
Crystal 0. Gold 40. Gold 4. Gold. Level up and explore. Selected. Maze. Dungeons. Tab 2 player. Dungeons. Tab 3.
Take a look at dungeons.
Dungeon key required. Help Perrin to open the gate.
So as you've seen, the dungeon requires a key, and this is very similar to the vaults in Lost Vault, where you actually needed a vault key. So it works on a similar basis. So there's a lot of similarities between War Shovel and Lost Vault. And the good thing with exploring is you can either do it manually and keep an eye on what you do, or you can do it in an idle gaming fashion where it explores automatically. You can go off and do other stuff. So it all depends what you are feeling like doing, really. I don't mind a bit of idle gaming as long as it's not the primary kind of method of playing the game. That's the main thing, because I like to be able to balance both rather than have a game that basically can play itself. This game does require you to actually do things in the game as well as idle gaming, which is quite nice.
I selected 7 town, tab 4 of 6.
Let's show you the town tab.
Selected town. In order to optimally develop the city, focus initially on lumber mill, farm and town hall. The rest is up to you. Heading.
This is where, again, compared to Lost Vault, it has a lot more because it has a fully fledged town that you can develop. You can build various locations. And I really like that. It's another additional layer to this style of game.
Here is your town. Develop various buildings to get additional bonuses for your main character.
It's quite similar to what the shelter was in Lost Vault, but I've got a strong feeling it is more fledged than that.
Special resources are required to upgrade town buildings. Wood is the main construction material. It is produced in a lumber mill. Food is needed to feed construction workers. It is produced in a farm, close by. Selected, 7 town, tab 4.
So let me quickly show you what we've got here.
Lumber mill levels, town hall level 1, lumber chat, but town hall level 1. Lumber mill level 0. Farm level 0. Gold mine level 0. Selected. Town. Tab 1 of 4. 1 quests. Tab 2 of 4.
So you can do quests as well, which is quite good.
2 rewards. Tab 3 of 4.
You can collect rewards. These are for daily login bonuses. So it encourages you to open the game regularly because you can pick up rewards.
4 badges. Tab 4 of 4.
You can look at badges, and the badges you earn can give you rewards as well.
2 player. Tab 1 of 6.
So that's that. Let's take a look at the next tab.
World. Selected. Guild. Tab 5 of 6. Selected. Guild. Battles against other guilds and enormous portal creatures. Dedicated camp giving permanent boosts for your character. Chat available only for guild members. Friendly pet with own equipment who helps in battles. Heading. Playing solo is great, but doing the same in a group is even better. Being a part of a guild makes the game more exciting. There are a lot of aspects available only within the guild system. Join one of the existing guilds or create your own to shake up the ranking. Close button, skip button, skip but close button. Selected, guild, tab 5 of 6.
So this is the more multiplayer section of the game. Again, if you've played Lost Vault, it's similar to clans. Again, you don't have to do this. As the game says, you can just play the game on your own, which is perfectly fine. Or you can join a guild if you wish and collaborate with other players. So I like how you've got a bit of both, because not everyone likes that kind of group thing. For me, I don't mind either. You know, it's good to try both because you get to experience both and then be able to figure out what works for you.
Create guild. Head chat button. Create level up and come back stronger. Required 35 level.
So for guilds, again, I need to be level 35, so I'm 9 levels away from that.
Sending invitations. Heading. There are no active guild invitations at the moment.
No invitations at the moment. This could be because I'm not the right level, or it could be just because I don't have any.
Underground. Selected. Underground. Tab 6 of 6.
Let's see what the final tab is. Underground.
Level up and come back stronger. Required 75 level. Chat button. Crystal 0. Chat. Find hero button. Selected. Heroes. Tab 1 of 3. Invasion. Tab 2 of 3. Arena. Tab 3 of 3.
So this is the fighting section here, where you can do either player v player battles, or do an invasion task, which if it's anything like Lost Vault, it's basically where you have one common enemy that every player is fighting, and that common enemy has a very, very high health bar that collaboratively with the other players you have to obviously remove and therefore get very strong rewards.
Two player, tab arena, invasion, selected, heroes, tab one, invasion, level up and come back strong, chat, level up and come back stronger, required 100 level.
So again, this requires level 100. So there's a lot of high level requirements, which is understandable because you can level up quite quickly in this game, especially if you use the idle gaming parts.
Hero, select arena, tab three.
Then you've got the arena.
Level up and come back stronger, required 25 level.
That's level 25, so I'll be unlocking that literally very soon, and that's where you can do player v player battles. And these are all the tabs in the game. So that's the rough layout of the game. I'm more than happy to demonstrate individual functions in the game. It is all fairly accessible and self-explanatory. I would recommend, as with every game, doing the tutorial purely because it will tell you how to effectively play the game, but not force you to do it that way. You can easily just play whichever way you wish to. But always explore the tutorial first, because then you can learn about all the parts of the game and what they do, and then after that, make your own decision as to how you wish to do it. But yes, that is War Shovel. Really nice game. A lot of similarities to Lost Vault, but a few different parts to it that make it a bit different. So it's not a carbon copy of the same game in that sense. So give it a go, see what you think, and if you want a specific part demonstrated, then get in touch with us and we can definitely do follow-up demos of this one. But that is War Shovel here on RNIB Tech Talk.
That's it from Tech Talk this time, but do tune in next week when we hope to bring you coverage of the Northern Ireland Technology Fair being hosted by RNIB in Lisbon. So do tune in for that one. I will be away next week. Callum Stoneman, are you all right to keep the wheels turning over here?
Yeah, I'll do my best. Big shoes to fill and all that.
Running shoes, that's why I'll be away. But I will be back the week after. So
I am surprised you're running.
Take care, everybody. Have a great week. Thank you so much for your company. Don't forget, of course, if you've got something technology-related that you'd like to hear here on Tech Talk, then it is techtalk@rnib.org.uk. T-E-C-H-T-A-L-K @rnib.org.uk. Traditional emails and voice notes, all very welcome. But from myself, Dave Williams, Callum Stoneman, Hubert Pavarkovich, Jackie Brown and Natalie Curran, bye for now.
Bye for now.
Goodbye.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye-bye.